This is Wade Renske with the Chief Organizer's Report. Starbucks workers and the community. I don't drink Starbucks coffee unless I have to do so, like being stuck in an airport or something. It's neither fair trade, nor do they serve my New Orleans favorite coffee and chicory. It always tastes a little burned to me, even if that's what's left of my taste buds. There's one around the corner from our building. I've never crossed the threshold. On the other hand, we open our hall some nights for the workers there to meet since they are organizing a union now and seeking to join the other 375 stores that have voted to be represented by Workers United SEIU. You know how it is. I don't like the coffee, but I love the workers. One thing and another led me into a conversation with a bunch of Starbucks activists and in-shop organizers. It was interesting. I wasn't sure what they wanted to talk about exactly or why they invited me to join for a minute, but I was glad to jump on and ride with them a bit. They wanted to know about Acorn and how we approached community organizing. This was a young group that didn't know Acorn except by rumor and legend, if at all. Needless to say, it was also the first experience with a union many, maybe all of them, had ever had until becoming baristas for Starbucks. I mainly talked about our support and experience for community union or community labor alliances. I discussed our experience with Walmart from 2005 forward in a coalition of Acorn, SEIU, UFCW and the AFL-CIO, and what we learned that might help them think about their own situation and trying to convert their shop election victories into something more. Interestingly, the questions seemed to bunch up around how to reconcile the counter staff that tended to blend minority and working class young and older folks who were there for a job with a more political, young, educated, and woke bunch of other baristas. I gathered for the discussion that there was a certain bridge that they needed to build in their stores, but that this same gulf also came to how they viewed the community. Like everyone, I'd followed their 2 years of victories in elections and frustrations both legally and at the bargaining table with Starbucks, but as an informed bystander, I'd never really tried to put myself in the organizer's shoes. Nonetheless, on these questions, I found myself arguing that they really needed to have a program to reach out for support to the communities where their stores were located, not just to their affinity groups and social media friends. From our experience of running Fairgrounds Coffee House, I argued that 80% or more of the customers were consistent comebacks drawn from the community, even in an Airbnb and tourist area like New Orleans and Faubourg St. John. Furthermore, baristas know their regulars, and there were always other coffee houses ready to serve them if they didn't come to us. The same thing must be true for Starbucks, I thought. What would happen if, in fact, the baristas canvassed their community deeply to gain support and done so on a national basis, asking customers and neighbors to support other coffee houses until they won justice on their jobs? I remember a successful campaign for Chicago home care workers where we couldn't settle a contract at a recalcitrant company, and our home care workers moved themselves and their clients to union homes and away from the holdout. Sure, a barista and a home care worker have different relationships with their clients, but even weak links can be strengthened with work. Starbucks stores are located in a lot of different communities. The press never fails to mention that the union stores are 375 and counting out of maybe 9,000 U.S. locations. True enough, but if enough pressure came from joining the workers' struggle with the community in an action that was a cross between a boycott and a permanent alienation of consumers to competitors in close to 400 stores, that might put more pressure on Starbucks to settle in just another NLRB complaint. It's a bit of a suicide run since, if effective, it could push many of the stores out of business. But given the high turnover of workers, including union supporters, I'm not sure that there's that much to lose, especially when the alternative continues to be the current war of attrition and company stalemate. This is Wade Renske. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.